come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love it.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. My next guest has taken tips from the talent hotbeds he's visited for the past 5 years, top music academies, sports teams, the Navy SEALs, Olympic training centers, and world-class businesses and schools. We'll discuss his findings that he's condensed into a portable manual for coaches and success-oriented people titled The Little Book of Talent. Daniel Coyle is a contributing editor at Outside Magazine. He's written 4 different books, 3 nonfiction and 1 fiction. Daniel has won a Book of the Year award. In addition, he's been nominated twice for the National Magazine Award, and he's been featured in the Best American Sports Writing. His latest book is titled The Little Book of Talents, 52 Tips for Improving Your Skills. It's a user's manual for improving skills with 52 tips for getting better at sports, music, art, and business. He lives in Ohio and Alaska with his wife and 4 children. Joining me on the show, Daniel, how are you today?
Good, thank you, Bill.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for being our guest, and thank you for being a thought leader in this area, because your book was very thought-provoking on a number of different levels. But let's dive right into it. Your latest book is really the product of 5 years of reporting from some of the world's greatest talent hotbeds, when you had interviews with successful master coaches and the like. You've distilled all of this daunting complexity of skills development into 52 clear and concise directives. Now, here's what I liked about it. The central point of your book is to upend the old maxim that practice makes perfect. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes myelin, and myelin makes perfect. So explain, what is myelin, and how does it aid in improving talent?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this whole thing started when I started doing a magazine piece about different talent hotbeds. And as part of that, I visited several laboratories. And when I did, they started telling me, I learned a few things that I didn't know, one of which is that all talent really resides in the brain. You know, even physical talent, even athletic talent, our muscles, we talk about muscle memory, but muscles themselves are actually dumb. They're doing exactly what the brain tells them to do. And so it turns out that all the talent, whether it's a musical conductor, whether it's a great entrepreneur, whether it's a great politician, all that stuff is in the circuits of your brain. And it turns out there's a certain substance that you grow when you practice in certain ways. It's called myelin. And myelin wraps the circuits of your brain, much like electrical tape wraps a blank copper wire. The thicker it gets, the faster the impulse goes, the faster that signal can go, the more accurate that signal can be. We've all heard by now about the rule of 10,000 hours, that it takes 10,000 hours to develop world-class expertise. Well, the neurologist that I spoke with told me that those 10,000 hours are really growing myelin. That's what happens when you practice well. And so when I visited these talent hotbeds, I started seeing these patterns of practice, certain patterns of practice, certain patterns of essentially growing a fast and accurate brain. And that's what this book is about. It takes those and breaks them down into simple habits that anybody can do.
It does, and we'll get into some of those simple habits in just a minute, Daniel. But another thing that I liked about your book is the basic premise that, as you said, greatness isn't born. It's developed by a combination of several things, and you've touched on some of them already. But those things are luck, i.e. being given the opportunity, ignition, which is self-motivation activated by one or more of what you call primal cues, deep practice, which you just referred to a moment ago, the 10,000 hours of focused repetition, and then master coaching provided by talent whisperers. So let's break that down, if we can, for just a minute. What are some of these primal cues that activate self-motivation?
Yeah, it's interesting. We all sort of walk around with a windshield in front of us. You know, on that windshield are many things, among them people. And the thing that I found in the talent hotbed is that their windshields were constantly filled with people who they wanted to become, people who they wanted to become. They were always surrounded by, maybe it was an older brother, maybe it was a superstar on a higher level. Staring at someone that you want to become unlocks a tremendous amount of energy that can be used toward the right sort of practice. And so these places have got that. There's also some interesting findings about psychology in general. A lot of people who go on to success have experienced deep and severe loss in their lives. There's an unusual preponderance of orphans, for instance, among super top performers. That's not to say if you're not an orphan, you don't have a chance of becoming good, but it goes to speak that there is a signal you get from your environment, whether it's a signal that life isn't fair, is a little bit unsafe, or whether it's staring at someone that you want to become that unlocks the sort of energy that you can use to build a fast and accurate brain.
Wow. My guest is Daniel Coyle. He's author of the book, The Little Book of Talents, 52 Tips for Improving Your Skills. The other part of this, that your preconception that you've got, the premise of the book, is that you need master coaching provided by what you call talent whisperers. What is a talent whisperer? Is that like a horse whisperer or a ghost whisperer?
A little bit, I guess. But when I visited these hotbeds, whether it was a tennis court in Russia or whether it was a music academy in the Adirondacks, I kept bumping into the same person. I kept bumping into the same type of coach. And they tended to be a little bit older. They tended to be very good at connecting on a one-to-one level. They tended to be very quick at communicating, very short bits of information. They weren't giving big speeches. They were giving short, very vivid bites of information. And I came to think of those people as talent whisperers. And when you picture the brain when it's learning, these are the people that stand next to you and ask just the right question at just the right time to make you make the right reach. And that's really the word when it comes to learning, reach. If you can reach a little bit beyond your ability, you're actually forming a new connection in your brain. And so these people, these coaches, these sort of special coaches that we see in many different situations are those people who can be a great mentor, who can be a great tennis coach, who can be a great violin coach. But they're the ones who ask the right question at the right time so that you go a little beyond your ability and make a new connection in your brain.
Oh, that is fascinating. My guest is Daniel Coyle. So, Daniel, Confucius once said, love what you do and you'll never work a day in your life. However, it begs the bigger question, how do you do what you love well enough to have a career doing it?
That's the question I think all of us face in one way or the other in the very practical, very real world in which we live. But the answer is that ignition, sort of this kind of passion, is not something that's fixed. It's something that can grow. It's something that can also be extinguished at times. And so to keep it going, some of the advice would be to sort of always keep your windshield filled, the windshield we talked about earlier, of looking at models, looking at who you want to become, about thinking about the bigger picture. But it's sometimes simply by doing something over and over again, we can slowly grow a passion. You know, the world, we're not all going to ultimately find the perfect job, the perfect thing. We're not going to always find the perfect passion for ourselves. But by keeping an open mind and keeping a growth mindset, you can hopefully bump into something. And through hard work, grow that passion, just like you'd sort of take care of a small garden.
My guest is Daniel Coyle, author of The Little Book of Talent. So, Daniel, your book has those 52 tips for building success, yet some of the tips seemed contradictory to me. For example, you had tip number 26, which is slow it down, and tip number 49, which is speed it up. So how can one simultaneously slow it down and speed it up?
My kids were just asking me the exact same question. The answer is you don't do it simultaneously. You do them both. The brain is a really complicated thing. And when you're trying to grow new circuits in your brain, sometimes, like especially with music, especially with very hard skills, you're trying to be very, very precise. It's not how fast you can do it. It's how slow you can do it correctly. You can build speed. However, at certain times when you bump into a plateau later on, let's say later you get pretty good at playing the song and you want to get even better at playing it, well, that's the time when you want to speed it up, where you can use that speed to push yourself to the edge of your ability to grow new brain circuits. So it's a question of when you practice, you need to have a lot of tools in your toolkit. Great coaches know this. There's no one way. There's no one answer. But by applying, sometimes you want to speed it up when you hit a plateau. Sometimes you want to slow it down when you want to build the essential skill. It's hard to do these things. It's hard to go really slow. It's hard to swing a golf club really slowly. But when you look at top performers, they are doing these sorts of things all the time. Ben Hogan used to swing the golf club so slowly that when he contacted the ball, it went about 2 inches. Now, he wasn't trying to hit the ball very hard. He was trying to make sure that his brain was sending the right signals to the right muscle, that he was doing all the right things at just the right time. It's not how fast you can do something. It's how slow you can do it correctly.
My guest is Daniel Coyle. So, Daniel, your book really addresses that fundamental paradox, nature versus nurture. You know, which is it? You say that talents can be learned over time and through repetition and so forth. But no matter how much myelin I produce, won't there always be somebody with genetics that are going to be superior to mine and be able to outperform in any given field?
That's an interesting question. I mean, the answer is that it's not a genetics contest over the long run. You know, we tend to believe that prodigies always win out, that the kid who's 13 years old and is the best soccer player is always going to be the best soccer player, that the person who's the best businessman at 21 is always going to be the best businessman. Now, when you look hard at the data, though, prodigies don't tend to pan out. They don't tend to succeed more than the rest of the population. What tends to happen is that sort of an average person emerges over the long run. And so, you know, genes, I'm not going to say that genes don't matter. They clearly do. Everybody's born with a different set of genes. But what we do with them over our 10,000 hours, how we spend our time, our habits, our daily habits of practice, has far more of an impact over the long run than the genes that we're born with.
And that's a comforting thought to many, including myself. My guest is Daniel Coyle, author of the book, The Little Book of Talent. So, Daniel, to what do you owe the brevity of your book? I mean, is it that the tips are distilled down to their essential truths, or is it really the shortness of our reading attention span that makes the book be as short as it is?
Perhaps a little bit of both in this day and age. But really, what I learned by hanging out these talent hotbeds is that it is very difficult to be simple. Great coaches are simple. Great coaches deliver very, very simple messages that are vivid and that you can understand immediately. And that's what I tried to do. I tried to make a master coach who could fit in your pocket, someone who was vivid, someone who was direct, and someone who was very, very simple. Because if my 10-year-old kid can't read this book and get something out of it, then I haven't done my job. You know, this is really for anybody to understand how the brain builds skill. And so to write some very complicated scientific tome would not work. So I sort of had the voice of the master coach in my head as I was writing.
All right. Now, Daniel, I'm going to ask you a difficult question because it's going to be like trying to choose between your favorite children. You've got these 52 tips, but which of these tips really stands out in your mind as being the most important, or at least the starting point?
That is an interesting one. I think one of the big ones is to embrace repetition. Repetition has a terrible reputation in our culture. We think of it as drudge work. We think of it as boring. We think of it as effortful and dull. But in fact, repetition is the single most powerful tool you have to build your brain. To not only just do repetition, but to embrace it, to make it a positive, to celebrate when somebody does 10 reps of something, whether it's playing a song, swinging a golf club, to make that a moment of kind of heroism. You know, there's a great violin program some of your listeners might know about called the Suzuki Violin Program, and they have something called the 100 Day Club, where when some kid practices 100 days in a row, they get something very special. They get sort of a medal. And they make that kid into a hero because of repetition, because of that repetition. So embracing repetition would be my favorite.
All right, and that ties in sort of with your tip number 14, which is forget the clock, go for those repeatable sets. So differentiate. I mean, most of us practice for a fixed amount of time. I go to the gym for an hour every day. My child practices the piano for an hour every day. But you're saying that that's not it. Forget the clock and go for these repeatable sets. Why is the repeatable set more valuable in learning than the clock?
Well, you measure progress in repetitions. You don't measure it by watching the clock. When you get to the edge of your ability and reach, each of those reaches matters. And by putting your attention on the clock, you're taking it away from the reach. By thinking you did your job by doing it for half an hour. There's a whole lot of people out there, especially with kids, who are practicing in a very shallow, empty way. They're fulfilling the time, but they're not really getting to the edge of their ability and making a reach. And again, we'll go back to that word reach. When you count the reaches you make, the sincere effort to go past your ability to make mistakes and then to reach again and fix those mistakes, that's what counts, not the second hand or the hour hand or the minute hand. So the number of times you do that, which is very difficult, it's exhausting, it's kind of effortful, but that's when you're growing your brain. So count that stuff. Don't pay attention to the clock. You can get a lot done in 10 minutes. You can get very little done in 2 hours. It depends on the approach. And so that rule really is designed to say, pay attention that approach and make those reaches intense, effortful, and get as much feedback as you can from each one.
My guest is Daniel Coyle, author of the book, The Little Book of Talents, 52 Tips for Improving Your Skills. And throughout our discussion, Daniel, you've been talking about the value of a coach. And one of your tips, I believe it's tip number 12, 5 ways to pick a high-quality teacher or coach. What do we look for when we're seeking a coach to help us get to that next level of performance?
Well, you want to look for someone who scares you a little bit. You don't want to look for someone who is a courteous waiter. A lot of coaches these days are very courteous, and they're very friendly, and they're very warm, but they're not someone who's going to push you to the edges of your ability. So you want to look for someone who's not like a waiter and who scares you a little bit. And you want to find somebody who gives very short and clear direction. Great coaches do not make long speeches. They make short, vivid instructions. You want to teach someone who loves teaching fundamentals, someone who loves fundamentals, who spends time with fundamentals. And lastly, you want to pick somebody, if everything else is equal, pick the older person. Teaching is like a skill like anything else, and it takes time to get good. And the best coaches I found out there were the ones with the most gray hairs. I'm not saying you should always pick the oldest one, but all things being equal, go with the older coach.
My guest is Daniel Coyle. Daniel, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Little Book of Talent?
I think a sense that they are in charge of their talent much more than they might presume. There's a story that we're told in movies and books by our teachers, by our parents sometimes, that talent is given out at birth, that Michael Jordan was destined to be a great player. But when you look hard at talent, what you find is a set of tools. All these people have a craft for building their brain. And I think people need to realize, and especially children need to realize, that they're in charge of that much more than they think. It doesn't say everybody can be great. That's not the way the world works. But it does say everybody can grow their brain, just like they can grow their body, just like they can learn to run, just like they can learn to play a sport. Everybody is more in charge of that than they might presume.
Daniel, you've probably piqued the interest of some of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
Yeah, they could go to thetalentcode.com, and there's quite an assortment of things there. Please click the email if they'd like to get in touch.
That is great. Daniel, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks very much, Bill. Appreciate it.